We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we have recorded this podcast on, the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation.
We pay our respects to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people on the lands which Deep Herd operates.
Welcome back to the Grains Combo podcast, brought to you by the Department of Primary Industries and Regional Development in Western Australia. I'm Cindy Webster.
And I'm Jeanette Pratt, and we are research scientists based in regional WA. These episodes shine a spotlight on the knowledge and tools developed by DPIRD to grow the grains industry.
In today's episode, I'm talking with DPIRD research scientist Emmanuel Bikuma about the upcoming grains research updates. This event is a collaboration with the Grains Research and Development Corporation and the Grains Industry Association of Western Australia. The Grains Research Updates is a premier event in the WA Grains calendar and attracts around 600 people each year. It's a two-day program showcasing the latest research, technology, market development and innovations to improve the productivity and profitability of the WA grains industry. The Department of Primary Industries and Regional Development is one of the event's sponsors, and we have a number of research scientists speaking on a range of topics, including deep ripping and topsoil inclusion during a dry season, strategies to maximise ground cover, emissions and resistance to yellow spot in wheat. Emmanuel joins us now. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Cindy.
Emmanuel, can you provide a bit of background on your role at the department for those who aren't familiar with your work?
Yes, I can do that, certainly. Originally, I am from Ethiopia, and I came to Australia in 2012 on AusAid scholarship to study my PhD at Murdoch University. Then I completed my PhD researching on the area of rhizobium net and nitrogen fixation in one of the forage legumes known as Spicerula. I don't hear much about it, but it's a really nice forage legumes for sheep. After that, in 2019, I started working on a joint project with Murdoch University and DPIRD on barley heat stress tolerance, screening large genotypes. And then after that, I joined in 2020 the amazing frost research team at DPIRD, which at the time was headed by Dr. Ben Bidoff. Our team mainly focused on frost research, and recently we started working on chilling tolerance in chickpeas as well. So in general, it has been an incredible journey and learning curve, and I'm pleased to be a part of such a dynamic and impactful team overall. Well, our team is like the Avengers in the movie, but instead of fighting aliens, we are battling frost. That's what we do most of the time.
That sounds like a fantastic team to be part of. And let's start from the beginning. Congratulations on being selected to present. What was your response to being asked to speak at this year's Grains Research Updates on behalf of DPIRD?
It is very great opportunity, honestly. And being invited to talk on the GRC update is very fantastic. It is because you'll be able to communicate your research outputs and outcomes to the stakeholders in Western Australian grain industry. And I had a chance to present DPIRD on the forum since 2021, both here in Perth on the main event as well as the regional updates that has been going on in the regions. I have been to some of those updates as well. So the feedbacks and the interactions with the growers and consultants, as well as researchers and students from the universities, it was incredibly valuable inputs that we're getting. And there was a lot of interest that people have been showing towards this work. So I would say the input has helped to shape our research direction into the right way. So basically, GRC Update is a forum that I look forward every year, either to attend or to give my presentation. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity.
And what does it mean to have your research showcased at an event of this scale?
Well, having our research showcased at such a significant event is both it's a privilege and it's an opportunity to get our efforts recognized and valued by the broader agriculture community in general. Well, GRC Update is not just presenting our work. It is also about connecting with those who can directly benefit from our research. Those close interactions present an opportunity to bridge the gap between scientific knowledge and then the practical applications. So this is one of the ways to ensure that our research remains relevant and beneficial to the grain industry in Western Australia and beyond that. So because frost is mostly not only limited to Western Australia, it's also a national problem. So whatever we do our research in WA, we think it's going to be spillover effect or applicability across the nation. So I would say speaking at GRDC Update is an opportunity that definitely lifts the profile of our work in general, and it expands our outreach to other research findings, and it has been a wonderful event so far.
You will be discussing management of arsenic-nucleating bacteria. Without giving too much away, what can attendees expect from your presentation?
Well, it's always hard not to give away too much, isn't it? You'll be carried away with your work. So, but I'll try to keep it brief, as brief as I can. So to the background, growers have always known conditions that cause severe frost damage to their crop. For example, when frost occurs following light rainfall showers, late in the afternoon or in the evening, you get severe frost. And if you have got heavy stubble, and then if you are growing crops on that heavy stubble and it's frost event, you get still a very heavy severe frost damage. So in the past few years, we have been busy trying to understand why this is the case. Thanks to the COGO research funding, now we know what is causing that. So it is the arsenic-nucleating bacteria. That's the main culprit behind all this severe frost damage. So how these bacteria are causing this? So basically, these bacteria are predominantly from Pseudomonas syringae species, and sometimes we see some Pseudomonas fluorescens as well. And they live mainly in the stubble, older leaves, where obviously there's nutrients for them to tap into and then proliferate more. And we have also detected these bacteria in rainwater, especially in light rainfall events, and then frosted grain and in the soil to some extent as well. So these bacteria possess structural protein on their surface that mimics the lattice structure of ice crystals, so which means they can effectively align water molecules in a manner that induces ice formation. And once the ice is formed, ice itself is a good arsenic-nucleator, and then it will propagate all the ice crystals grows on the plant or within the plant itself. So to give a perspective, pure water, it may remain super cool to minus 40 degrees Celsius. So without freezing, it will remain super cool to minus 40. And plants have been seen to remain super cool to minus 8 degrees Celsius without freezing. But in the presence of this bacteria, we have seen that water can freeze up to as warm as temperature at minus 3 degrees Celsius. And we have isolated bacteria from WA production system that can catalyze this ice formation at warmer temperature, like minus 3 degrees Celsius. So this is very significant because this temperature is agriculturally relevant because we see most of our frost damage occurs around this temperature. So we have shown this by using the arsenic-nucleating protein that's extracted from bacteria, and then we just sprayed plants prior frost events, and we have seen a up to threefold increase in frost damage on those plants, suggesting that this bacteria or the protein is responsible in enhancing frost damage. So at the moment, thanks to the GRDC funding, we are currently exploring ways to manage arsenic-nucleating bacteria population using chemical products. We are also looking at cryoprotectant products, which are claimed to enhance our frost tolerance of the crops and recovery after damage. So at the moment, we have some promising results under lab and controlled environment settings, where some of the products are reducing arsenic-nucleating bacteria population, as well as protecting plants from frost damage, which is very exciting. So because, Cindy, you said you don't want to give too much, so I would say get ready for a presentation that's part mystery, part science, and it's all about winning the frosty war.
Excellent. That sounds like a great presentation to look forward to. And Emmanuel, where to from here? What projects, trials do you have coming up that you are most excited for?
Well, one thing that I haven't mentioned so far is what most people would like to hear, what are these products, their performance, their efficiency in the field. So what I can say is we have seen some encouraging observations regarding the performance of some of these products in the field, but there's still significant work to be done in this area, which means they still need a bit of work. So in the next field season is exciting from our side because we are planning to optimize product applications. So we're trying to see different mode of applications as well as timing of applications. And the most exciting that we part of this project that we want to try is combination of different products to see if we can harness any synergetic effects of the products in managing these bacteria.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add or mention on your topic before I let you go, Emmanuel?
Yes, we know frost is a complex and challenging form of abiotic stress, and we are well aware that there is no single and simple solution to this problem. Prefix works in frost research has laid down the foundation very well, and then currently our team is actively engaged in various research projects at the national level, which aims to understand how, for example, spike morphology, genetics, or metabolite profiles affect the response of wheat to frost. So we are, if successful, then this will pave a way to breed frost-tolerant varieties, and it will provide a long-term solution for this problem that we are having. So in the meantime, we will endeavor our best to manage ice nucleating bacteria. And I would say the future is promising, or should I say the future is warmer for our crops?
Emmanuel, thank you very much for coming on the podcast and sharing your insights into the Greens research updates and your work in management on ice nucleating bacteria.
It has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Cindy, for having me on the podcast. And I appreciate the opportunity you have given me to discuss our research topic with you and your listeners. And remember, every time you enjoy a slice of bread, you are tasting victory over the cold. Thank you.
More information on this topic can be found in the show notes. If you like this episode, you can download and subscribe to Grains Convo on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
We'll be back on the 1st and 15th of every month with a new episode. Thanks for listening.